They sit there taking notes.
You're over there. I think you're technically
wrong. Can you take anything?
I don't think so.
They're all on 7 if you guys are ready.
Okay, folks, I would like to call the meeting to order. Would everyone rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would like to welcome everybody to the January 6, 2020 Cheshire Heights Reorganization Meeting. First up on the agenda is roll call. We have present tonight current council members Steve Picoza, Gina Marie Ellis, myself, Borough Solicitor Jerry Montella. Not present tonight are Borough Engineer Matt Hooten is with us tonight. Not present tonight is Mayor Stacy Smith. In the absence of Mayor Smith, I will be residing over the reorganization meeting tonight. Moving forward, the reorganization meeting was advertised December 26th in the Daily Times, as per borough code. Also moving forward, on November 5th, 2019, there was a general election was held in the borough. The results of that election were Dave Fersker, Laura Lim were newly elected council members, and Susan Clark was re-elected as a council member. In the absence of the mayor, we have on hand Magistrate District Judge Sonny Stroll, who will administer the oath of office. Prior to taking the oath of office, each candidate will submit a notarized affidavit of registry that will be presented and held on file in the borough with the secretary. Congratulations to them. Judge Stroll, would you please step to the front?
You're up. I'm sorry. Don't hurry or anything.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of this Commonwealth.
The Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And that I will discharge the duties.
And that I will discharge the duties.
Of Chester Heights Borough with
Of Chester fidelity. Heights Borough with fidelity.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
I will support, obey, and defend.
I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And I will discharge the duties.
And I will discharge the duties.
Of Chester Heights Council with fidelity.
Of Chester Heights Council with fidelity.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do solemnly swear.
I will support, obey, and defend.
I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of this Commonwealth.
The Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And I will discharge the duties of
I will discharge the duties of?
Chester Heights Council with fidelity.
Chester Heights Council with fidelity.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
At this time, I would like to congratulate our newly and re-elected council members and ask them to join us in their respective seats. Okay, moving forward, according to the borough code, in the absence of the mayor, borough must choose a member to preside over the reorganization meeting. Do I have a motion to allow myself to preside over the reorganization meeting in the absence of the mayor? Mayor Smith.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Was opposed? The motion is approved. Okay, moving forward on the agenda for the reorganization meeting. First up, we have call for nominations for President of the Council. Do I have a nomination for President of the Council?
I nominate Councilman Drew Baum for President of Council.
All those in favor of that nomination, we will start to my left. Susan, we'll start with you.
Aye.
Gina?
Aye.
I abstain.
Aye.
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 Let the record show that there are 5 ayes, 1 abstention. Moving forward with nominations. Next up, we have nomination for Vice President of Council. I would like to nominate Steve Picoza for Vice President of Borough Council. Is there a second?
Second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye. Susan, I'll start with you again, please.
Aye.
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 Abstention.
Aye.
Let the record show that there were 5 ayes, 1 abstention. Next up on the agenda, nominations for pro tem of council. Do I have a nomination for pro tem of council?
I would like to nominate Councilwoman Gina Marie Ellis for pro tem of council.
I will second the motion. Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, Susan, I'll start with you.
Aye. All abstain.
Aye.
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 Let the record show there were 5 ayes, 1 abstention. At this time, the meeting will be turned over to President of Council. And continuing on, I will ask for a motion to approve the following appointments and reappointments. I'll read the whole list and I'll ask for the motion when I'm finished. Starting off, Vacancy Board, El Nwango. Solicitor, Jerry Montella. Specialist Solicitor, Pete Rohana. Engineer, G. Hootman & Sons. Alternate Engineer, Catania Engineering Associates. Open Records Officer, Megan Killian. Building Inspector, Richard Jensen. Electrical Inspector, United Inspections, Len Warren. Fire Marshal, Mike Sioko. Emergency Management Coordinator, Roadmaster, Larry Ward. Animal Control Officer, Alan Strickler. Sewer Enforcement Officer, Mike Sioko, PE, CEO. Fire Chief, Sam Iannucci Jr. Zoning Officer, Rich Jensen. And reappointment to the Planning Commission for a 4-year term, David Clark, Melinda Curry, Thayer Schroeder, John Leskey. Zoning Hearing Board, 3-year term, Glenn Mond, Cynthia McNicholas. Do I have a motion to approve that list of appointments and reappointments?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye. Susan, I'll start with you.
I have to abstain.
Okay.
Aye.
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 Let the record show there were 5 ayes, 1 abstention. Moving forward, new business. We have no further new business. At this point, I would like to call for a motion to adjourn the reorganization meeting.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Was opposed? The motion is approved. Okay, moving forward, I'd like to officially welcome everyone to the January 6th regular council meeting of Chester Heights Borough. First thing on the agenda is roll call. Tonight we have present Solicitor Jerry Montella, Borough Engineer Matt Hootman, Councilperson Steve Picoza, myself, Laura Lynn, Gina Marie Ellis, Susan Clark, Dave Fersker. Not present tonight, Mayor Stacy Smith. Next up on the agenda is the opportunity for public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address for the record. Is there anyone in the first row? Second row? Yes.
Greg Chestnut, 317 Willits Way. Will the public have an opportunity to ask questions during or immediately after the PowerPoint presentation?
We can save that for the second public comment period, but I know that council for the applicant has to leave. Do you have another meeting, Dave? Or I'm sorry, Joe?
I have Middletown, yes.
Okay, so this is just a real basic sketch plan. It hasn't gone to the planning commission. It hasn't really moved anywhere, so there will be plenty of opportunity.
But will the questions be able to be answered in the absence of council?
I'm sorry?
Will the questions be able to be answered in the absence of council?
No, probably not tonight. No, but they'll be back in many times prior to any approvals being made. Anybody else in the second row? Third row? Fourth row? Anybody in the last row? Yes. Okay, I think that's something we would consider. Could we invite you back to the work session on the 27th of this month? Maybe if we can take down your information tonight before you leave, we could maybe work in coordination with Postmaster Russo and maybe come up with some way that we can convince him to maybe contribute that.
Okay.
Does that sound reasonable? Okay, so we'll take your contact information before you leave tonight.
All right.
And then we'll try and work with council, yourself, and Postmaster Russo. Great, thank you.
Just one quick question.
Sure.
As part of this, we have to the father, Terry.
Sure.
We need photographic proof. Can I have a motion just get a
sure.
from the board?
Absolutely.
The presentation she goes through a competition.
Proof that she was here or proof that she was like me?
Go ahead and stand somewhere.
Why don't you stand towards the end?
I want you to actually sit right there in that chair.
they're in the championship in February, so that's
what I'm okay.
Okay, thank you. And Sue has my information already.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm still in the same place.
Good.
Okay.
Maybe we can talk to John and see if you can make an accommodation.
Okay. And if not, again, tell him what your request was again.
Just to play like half.
Sure.
In case he can't, because he said he might be restricted.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the back row? Okay, moving forward on the agenda, we have up next the Powell property presentation. We have Joe D'Amico, counsel for the applicant. Joe, can I hand it off to you, please?
Thank you very much. Before I begin, may I hand the folder for each with exhibits?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
I please remember the council as Chairman Baum mentioned, my name is Jerry Micko. I'm an attorney with offices in media. I have the pleasure this evening of representing Lorraine B. Powell, who is the owner of 62.64 acres of land. It's the subject of tonight's presentation, with frontage on Valley Road and Smith Ridge Road, as shown on the plans that are in your in your folder. With me tonight are Glenn Powell, Mrs. Powell's son, and Tom Comitta of Tom Comitta Associates, the land planner, and his resume is exhibit number 5 in your folder. I thank you for placing this matter on your agenda this evening. Most of the property that's shown on the plans was part of the Powell residence farm for many years, and Calvin Powell died on June 2nd, 2017. Powell became aware that members of borough council were interested in acquiring open space in the borough, and expressed expressions of interest in the Powell property were communicated to Mrs. Powell. The property, I'm sure you're all familiar with it, is a beautiful mixture of wooded area, lowland meadow, stream, and sloping fields, ideal for preserving open space countryside. One of the objectives of your RD ordinance is just that. And I have represented the Powells for many years, and after Calvin died, they requested that I explore the possibility of a reasonable residential development of the property, and at the same time, preserving most of the property in its natural state that's environmentally sensitive. In reviewing the Chester Heights Borough zoning ordinance, I felt that reviewing the Chester Heights Borough zoning ordinance, I felt that the planned residential development ordinance provides the perfect legal structure to obtain a reasonable development of the residential area and at the same time preserve at least 70% of the property as preserved open space. The Powells retained Thomas Comitas, one of the area's most respected land planners, to develop a plan for proposed PRD consisting of clustered single-family carriage homes, and pursuant to Section 185.63 of the PRD ordinance, one of the objectives there is to obtain dedication of open space to the borough, and the plan, as you will see in a few moments, does exactly that. Tom Comitta and his staff accepted the task and prepared a plan which consists of 62.6 acres in the PRD, 52 carriage houses on 13.7 acres of the property, 3.83 acres of community open space for the residents of the PRD, and a 48.2 acre area shown on exhibits 3 and 4 in your folders, for dedication to the borough. Plan meets or exceeds all of the requirements of the PRD ordinance, and the most critical of which are you must have a minimum lot size of 50 acres. In this case, we have 62.6. Second, the density could not exceed 4 units per acre under a PRD, and in this case, it's 0.83 or less than 1 per acre, so it's less than 25% of the density permitted. And a dedication of open space of a minimum of 70% of the tract, in this case it's 77% to be dedicated to the borough, and 3.8 as private open space for the residents of the PRD. The fiscal impact on the school district and the availability of public sewer are always a major concern to any municipal body, and accordingly we have had a study done of the fiscal impact that Tom Comitta will review briefly, but the bottom line is that based on his study, it'll be in excess of $200,000 a year, excess over the cost of the projected 15 school children that would attend the school district. We also had Walter Fasler of Bradford and Engineering do a sewer study, and we found that the public sewer would be feasible. With your permission, what I'd like to do is prepare and have Tom come in and make a brief presentation. And we believe that this proposal is a win-win for the owner of and the borough, and enables the borough to acquire 48 acres of open space at no cost, and the owner to develop the property with a reasonable density and preserve all of the environmental sensitive areas. After Tom has finished his presentation, we respectfully request that you review the exhibits, have Mr. Hoopman and Mr. Montell also review the exhibits, and permit us to meet with you at your March 23rd council work session to answer any questions you may have or your professionals may have after having had that opportunity to review the documents. May I proceed with Mr. Mayor?
You're sure? I want to pass this in the front row. Jeff, would you mind maybe passing these around so people have some kind of point of reference?
And we'll do our best to scan these and make these available on the website.
Okay, Joe. Tom, please.
Sure. Hi. And with your permission, I'll stand here.
So sure.
Everyone can hear me. Hi. My name is Tom Pimenta. I'm a town planner and landscape architect from Westchester, Pennsylvania. And in the packet that Mr. D'Amico handed up are several 11 by 17 exhibits. The first of which is simply the most recent Google Earth aerial photograph that depicts the boundaries of the site with the yellow outline. And I'd like, in the interest of time, just to briefly go through the exhibits, and then I'll hit the high points. The second page in the packet, which is called Exhibit 2, is the site analysis. And it reflects sensibility toward the site in terms of vehicular access opportunities, the high point and plateau area, some of the more sloping portions of the site, the lowland meadow portion, and the creek. And in large part, that informed the idea of how to best implement the current Chester Heights Borough PRD ordinance provisions. The third 11 by 17 exhibit is called Exhibit 3, and what it does is it depicts a compact area in the plateau section of the property with primary vehicular access from Smithbridge Road to service the 52 homes that are shown on the plan. As Mr. D'Amico pointed out, the current PRD ordinance, while it requires 70% open space, and the plan shows 77% open space, the current PRD ordinance allows 4 dwelling units per acre, and we're showing this sort of Lilliputian, sort of smaller place where homes could be built as either 2 homes together, or so-called duplex, or twin home, or 3 homes together. And all the while, there are a form of a carriage home that I'll talk about in a minute. But the really important threshold items Mr. D'Amico mentioned, that in contrast with the required 70% open space, the plan shows 77%, good outcome. And in contrast with the 4 units per acre allowed, we're only proposing 0.83. So the question would be asked, compared to the 52 carriage homes, how many homes could hypothetically be built? And the answer is 248, but we felt, as Mr. D'Amico pointed out, after Calvin Powell died, and there was some sentiment that much of the land should be protected as open space, and I was meeting with Glenn Powell, Mr. D'Amico, Mrs. Powell, we thought it would be great to meet and exceed any objective ordinance requirements. In any event, the fourth 1x17 page is also a sketch plan, but what it depicts on the right side are these so-called character images for proposed carriage homes, which pretty much show what would a two-story building look like as a possible carriage home, as a duplex or a triplex unit. And the net result on the open space in the immediate residential neighborhood, as Mr. D'Amico pointed out, is that there would be about 4 acres of open space around and near the homes, and then there would be the larger 48 acres that would be common open space that would be accessible should the borough decide at the appropriate time to accept an offer of a deed of dedication for the open space to become a Chester Heights Borough Community Park or whatever else the borough would choose to do with the ground should you decide that it's an important open space resource. I would say, although I haven't been at a borough council meeting in many years, in the early 90s our firm helped the borough with certain ordinance amendments, and in the last, 47 years, I've been working in the field of land planning in Delaware and Chester County for 47 years. Most of the time, as Matt Hoopin will tell you and Jerry Mattel will tell you, I work for the municipalities. Our firm currently represents 23 municipalities in Pennsylvania as the municipal planning consultant. And most of the time, the applicants just come within a fraction of meeting the objective standards. The good news about this from my perspective and my career is that we are having 7% more open space, and we're having quite a few different numbers as far as the dwelling units are concerned. But what we wanted to do in giving you this brief sketch plan presentation tonight is to pretty much say that we think we've done our homework. We've looked at the lay of the land. We looked at what we thought was the best way to access the site, being sensitive to the site topography and some of the slopes. We also were very concerned about visibility. And what we decided was, let's find the sweet spot on the site so that after these two-story carriage homes would be built, that they would be minimally visible from Valley Brook Road, and almost no visibility from Smithbridge Road because of how far into the site that they're located. And then, as Mr. D'Amico mentioned, we did the fiscal impact assessment, and we have good news with that, and it's on the last exhibit in your packet, is that there's positive results, fortunately, and there's positive results are mentioned on the last page of the fiscal impact analysis that pretty much indicate a net positive impact to the Garnet Valley School District of just over $232,000 per year. So that's also a good news attribute.
May I ask a question about that?
Sure.
So 5,200 being built, and you're assuming that that's going to bring an additional 15 children into the school district.
Yes.
I think that number is awfully low.
And I don't blame you for wondering about it. You could ask Matt to research it. What usually is used are Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, Delaware County metrics on like-type developments. And we're just using the same ratios that are used as a general rule of thumb. As we get further along, what we would then do is look precisely in Chester Heights Borough at what has been the actual yield of homes of children based on unit types, and then if we're wrong, we'll fix it. But based on the textbook example, which is where we are so far, that's the number. If it were to go up, we would explain to you what discovery we made and how the numbers vary from that.
It's a very desirable school district, and I struggle with that number, but, you know, the result is based on a key assumption, so
yeah.
I think it needs to look out pretty hard.
It's a good point, and if you could direct us, like, let's say you have a lot of experience in this area, if you could direct us to something that we should, you know, we may have overlooked, and that we should look at, we'd be happy to do so.
We could probably get some statistics from the school district, right? Yeah.
Yes.
No, you have it. Okay, I'm
sure. That's a good idea. Otherwise, I think I hit the high points. I guess the only other high point is I started my career in 1973, the year after the state passed the legislation for planned residential development. And so in what's called Article 7, Roman numeral 7 of the Municipalized Planning Code, the legislature decided in 1972 that in order to address suburban growth, just like the Delaware County Planning Department Comprehensive Plan has page 42 of the current plan and land use practices, that compact development with open space is worth of review and analysis. What we've tried to do, as Mr. D'Amico said, is both analyze the Chester Heights Borough zoning ordinance and say to ourselves, how can we meet and exceed our objective standards? And then going back to the, well, why did the legislature in 1972 and why did Chester Heights Borough do the amendments to allow PRD? In large part was to get open space. So what we thought was positive is, and I'm not sure how the real estate transfer works, that for $1 to get 48 acres of open space is a pretty good deal. And so, you know, the jury's out on that. You can decide whether it, is what you were hoping to get, where you were hoping to get the open space. But what we did do is we decided that the most notable features of the site would be open space, and we picked the sort of a plateau area where we wouldn't have to cut down any trees and disturb any streams or slopes as the place where the homes would sit. So that's pretty much the summary.
You don't have to do any zoning overlays for this because it's already in our borough code, correct?
The PRD ordinance is in your code at the present time, but you have to adopt it to this particular tract. It's a, I think Mr. Montella would be able to, he's had a lot more experience with it, but that's my understanding.
Correct. I'll mention, I mean, I'll give an opinion to council at the appropriate time.
Very good. Well, thank you very much. We'll see you, I guess, in March 23rd work session.
Joe, one comment I would have.
Yes.
I think one question that I think as a council we would probably like some more information about is the sewer leaving this property, going at the Smith Bridge, what that would mean for possible hookups for residents further down Smith Bridge in the borough.
Yes.
That's probably something we'd be very interested in.
Our sewer report, the final, came in just yesterday.
Okay.
I'd be happy to make copies and get those to Matt, Jerry, and all of you.
Okay. Great, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Tom, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, thanks for showing us on your agenda.
You're welcome. Okay, moving forward on the agenda. Tonight we have with us another guest, Trooper Tobin with the Pennsylvania State Police. She's here tonight to tell us about some activities going on in our borough. Trooper?
Hi, thank you. Good evening, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, this is the first time meeting me, as well as the newly elected members of the board. Congratulations, and congratulations on the re-elected members as well. My name is Trooper Jess Tobin. I'm the community service officer out of the media barracks located on Route 1. Okay, and I'm going to be here this evening just to share some police incidents in relation to 2019 statistics, okay? So that is our self-initiated police incidents, whether it's traffic stops, criminal-related incidents, like burglaries, what we're doing in the borough to make it better, okay? So first off, in 2019, we've handled 970 incidents in the borough. Now, again, that includes you know, our self-initiated traffic stops. That includes what's called our domestic security checks. We do those of the school districts, churches, and of the residents' homes as well, upon request. Okay? As far as DUIs are concerned, we did self-initiated DUI arrests of 10. Okay? Burglaries in 2018, we had 4. Just last year in 2019, we had 2. Okay, so that's great. And that literally contributes to all of your help, really. I've only been a CXO in this position in media for about a year. But looking at the numbers from 2018 and 19, just the amount of calls that we received from you guys, just saying, hey, you know, there's a suspicious person, suspicious vehicle, something doesn't look right. I don't ever want anybody to be hesitant. If your gut doesn't feel right, somebody or multiple persons or vehicles are in the area, that actually contributed a lot for us. So to get us out there and do a patrol check, we're able to knock those numbers down in half. So in conjunction with the other townships and boroughs that we cover, these numbers are great. So hats off to you guys. As far as homicide, we did have one homicide on May 26th, 2019 of last year. That took place at 161 Bishop Drive. Crashes, 2019, we handled a total of 84 crashes. Traffic stops, last year we conducted a total of 260 in the township to date, and we focused on the problematic areas. I had a couple of residents and a couple of members of the board had contacted me and just said, hey, trooper, we're experiencing issues right in front of St. Paul's Church and school, right? So we do a lot of the proactive enforcement there. We do a lot of the enforcement at 101 Valley Brook. So that's the curb between Concord and Bodily. And we get a lot of people that rear off the side of the road there. So those are the two main areas. If anybody has any other issues, problems, concerns, other problematic areas that need to be addressed, please don't hesitate to give me a call. Okay, and I'll leave all my information up at the top here before I leave. Alarms. We've handled 25 alarms. So, guys, there's a difference between, there's two alarms that we handle. There's what's called a false fault alarm and a no fault alarm. The difference between the two is if we get an alarm and we go out to your residence or the business and it was something that, you know, fell through the cracks, nobody gave us a call and said, hey, trooper, you know, we don't need your response anymore, that's considered a false fault. It was a non-emergency circumstance when we were called and we weren't told to terminate. So, out of all those, out of the 25 alarms, 21 of them were false fault. 4 of them were no fault. So the 4 means that we were actually supposed to come out to that residence and or business. But it was either, you know, somebody that wasn't supposed to be there. It was a positive, what we call a positive hit, a positive activation. So my suggestion to try to lower those numbers would be, if you're away from home, if you have good contact with your alarm company and they call you just to say, hey, was it an accidental trip, try to give us a call or just remind the alarm company to call the trooper Ferris and say, hey, just let us know that we don't need to go out there. Okay? That seems to be helpful. So as far as the community events that we have going on, Wednesday I'm going to be out on January 8th. I'm going to be conducting a cyberbullying and a safety presentation to all the residents at the Delaware County Juvenile Detention Center. On the 15th, we are in preparation for our True K Camp Cadet program. That's a week-long camp that we hold for children 11 to 14 years of age. It's a week-long program that we conduct at Durham College. So we're going to be at the mainline camp fair to promote that, along with 70-plus different representatives for all the different overnight camps that we have in Delaware County and across the board in PA. So if you guys are interested in attending that, or know people that would be interested, that program is going to be held from 5:30 to 8 p.m. And then Friday the 24th,
I'm going to be participating with Rose Tree Media School District for their fifth grade career showcase at Pencrest High School. So I'm going to be speaking to the fifth graders, just explaining about the day in the life of a trooper and also our training and education needed for the field. Try to recruit some young boys and girls to be troopers when they grow up. So aside from those guys, if you guys have any questions, concerns, comments, I'm going to open the floor up to anyone.
I'm sorry, what was the location of the January event you were doing?
Okay, so that's the mainline camp fair. That's going to be at the Conestoga High School. And that's 5:30 to 8 p.m. And admission is free for that, too. You're welcome. Anyone else?
I have a question, actually. So I'm sure you've noticed on Route 1, they are building a new septic train station. Obviously, there's going to be more people in the area in the next couple years when that opens. Do you foresee manpower being increased as far as the number of troopers based out of the media bound barracks?
Absolutely. So just within the first week of January of 2020, we just received 7 new troopers that graduated the academy and are out ready to go on coach pupil period, what we call it. So we already got an additional 6 males, 1 female. We got another female, so we're excited about that. Because we're so far in between. But yes, in long and short, your answer is that 100%. So what the department does is they analyze our stats, pretty much, our numbers, our figures. So the numbers that I gave you with the 970 incidents. So whether they're self-generated or whether they're complaints that are called in by the community, the more we initiate, the busier we are, the more bodies we get, if that makes sense. So True K, we typically get a lot of assistance. It's just what happens is, you know, when troopers come out, sometimes, you know, we get them from all over PA. So it's not home, right? Some of them might be Erie, some of them might be where I'm from, Scranton area, up north. So typically they might do their time and go. But that's not to say that within the past, I could say for 2 years, we've went up at least 15 troopers.
Okay.
So that's a good thing that actually decided to stay so far.
Oh, good.
But, I mean, it's going to be a lot for us to handle. So I know the department is well aware we're getting a new barracks that's going to be built hopefully April 2020. That's what they say. We don't know. But in addition to that, like you said, sir, we have the septic bus train station. We have Wawa that's going to be built next to us when our new barracks comes up. We have a new WFSF bank. We have a hotel that's going to be built. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything else. What's that? Yep. So with that in mind, and then plus the different, we're going to have the townhomes that are going to be built behind our barracks as well. I believe it's supposed to be 491 additional at the Middletown Township Planning Commission meeting that I was at. So it's going to be a lot. It's going to be up and coming. So with that being said, the amount of troopers that we're going to get is for sure going to go up.
And what is your service area? Can I assume that we're pretty close to the northern end of your service area and you serve areas to the south of us? And how far down?
Yes, so we service Rose Valley Borough. We do Middletown Township, the township that our barracks is in. We do you guys, Chester Heights, Concord, Chads Ford, Thornberry Township, and Edgemont Township.
Okay.
So 7 altogether.
So nothing further south than Chatsworth?
Nothing, yeah. Okay. So Troop J. Avondale takes up that area.
Okay.
So we go to the Brandywine Historical Museum, and pretty much that's our line. That's our further south line, and then J. takes the rest of it.
Okay.
Everyone. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much
Thank
for
you
your time.
Tonight.
I appreciate it.
We appreciate
it
your time.
It was a pleasure meeting you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving forward on the agenda, we have the approval of the meeting minutes for the December 2nd, 2019 regular council meeting. Are there any comments, questions, or concerns? with the meeting minutes from the regular council meeting on December 2nd. Any questions, comments, concerns? With no questions, comments, or concerns, do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from a regular council meeting on December 2nd, 2019?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion is approved. Next up on the agenda is the Treasurer's Report for December 2019. That report has a total receipts in the amount of $23,045.18 and total expenditures in the amount of $59,299.59. Are there any questions, comments, or concerns with the Treasurer's Report from 2019? Do I have a motion to approve the December 2019 Treasurer's Report?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion is approved. Okay, up next on the agenda is correspondence. I'll turn it over to Communication Chair Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. We received a letter from the Delaware County Veterans Memorial Association letting everyone know that if you have a veteran who has passed, they would like to do a casket flag raising ceremony for you, and all the contact information was sent to us. And then the Delaware County would like anybody who would like to share their opinion to represent their community by participating in focus groups. And that's the Delco Health Study at Gmail, and that's on the, all that information is on the Delaware County website. And the Green Region is doing a bonus grant that we can look into for specifically for tree planting projects. So that's something to look into in the Parks and Recs department or committee. The Pennsylvania State Association of Boroughs would like to help us celebrate our 75th anniversary. And that's coming up later this year, and we will be responding in the positive on that one. The CRC sent us their update over the last year and everything that they did in their 50th anniversary. The one that was highlighted for me, thank you, Sue, was that 10 tons of trash removed at 35 sites throughout watersheds during the 22nd annual stream cleanup in April.
Thank you, Beth.
We're doing that again this year.
Awesome.
So I'll do it, you know, the intro, so you can advertise it for you.
Perfect. Thank you. The County of Delaware Office of Housing and Community Development is letting us know that they're looking at funding, but the way that they're looking at funding is through the 2020 census program and giving us information on what to expect with the census and how they make their decisions based on the census information that's happening this year. Via email, communications were Pathways thanked us for the coat and toy drive that we did at Christmas time. There's a concern about turkey vultures in Darlington Woods. And there was concern from a Valley Brook resident about the location of this meeting as far as safety and liability and handicapped access. Anything via email after 11 a.m. today, I did not receive because my email is having server issues. So if there was anything else sent, I'll report it next month. That's it for me.
Great, thank you. Okay, moving forward, we have inspector's report. First up, we have Fire Marshal Mike Sioka and his annual report.
I want to look at a little different direction on this annual report. But the thing is, last year, we had two fires that are worth noting. One was a mulch fire, and I considered that a major fire because it was over $50,000 in damage. From the Fortunes and the Susan Madison. And the second one was a an unfortunate fire in the Garland Woods, where the owner, in a diminished capacity, ended up putting a newspaper on an electric heater, and it was in the fireplace. And it just really, it was catching the, we caught it in time. The mail was on fire. So the whole house got smoked up. And when I met with the daughter, there's two daughters, I met with her one daughter, and I explained to her that, she says, oh, it doesn't look too bad. I said, you have to notify your insurance company because you have considerable smoke damage. The whole house was just loaded with soot. And she had no idea about the soot. And I said, you have thousands of dollars in damage here just to get rid of all the smoke odor, the soot, just was throughout the house. The one thing about the soot, which is remarkable when you walk through these homes, is if you have cobwebs, the soot is just attracted to them, and you just see, it just brings out all the cobwebs in the house. They were the two noted ones. A lot of the other things were, we have the unattended cooking, where you're on the stove, you're cooking something, somebody calls on the phone, you start dabbing, and you forget you have something on the stove. And depending upon how high it is, you'll have a fire. We get called out. And the other thing I want to remind the public is that if you have an automatic fire alarm, once that signals and it comes to us, the fire company will respond. They have to respond by law. You can't call and say, don't come. It's not like the state police, where you call and say, you know, no, it was a false alarm. And this way they can recall the trooper. You can't do that with the fire company. We have to respond. It's just like if I came and wanted to set fire to someone's house and then call and say, no, everything's fine. By that time, they talk to the racist. You always need three things for a fire. You need fuel, you need oxygen, and you need heat. You take any one of the three away, and there's no fire. So, you have to just be mindful of when you're burning candles, cooking, fireplaces, space heaters. You have to be really careful with space heaters. Even though they say they have a built-in knockover, when you tip them over, they're supposed to shut off. I can tell you from experience that they go bad, and they will stay on. We had a problem years ago at Wawa Corporate, where a lot of the people had these under their desk, and we would go around and tip them over, and it was surprising how many wouldn't shut off. They ended up putting mats, heated mats, down there instead. I spoke a little bit just briefly in there of when I first came 30 years ago. There was hardly any water, fire fighting water out there. We had the least amount of hydrants in all of Delaware County. Now we have the most per resident. And that was all hard for us with developers. For me, bringing in something down there off of Smith Bridge Road, I would love it. Put a hydrant down there, hydrants up in there, sprinkler building. I couldn't ask for any more. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Fire Marshal Sciocco? Mike, is that it? Do you have anything else to add?
What's that?
Do you have anything else to add?
No, that's
great. Thank you for your time. Okay, moving forward, next up on the agenda, we have Roadmaster Larry.
Most of the PA1 calls have been routine matters. Notified by PA1 call that their mapping program is up and running, so they're allowed to add like user interface mapping onto the PA1 call. So be looking into that and getting with Matt as far as adding in some of the borough inlets and all that stuff and getting that updated onto the mapping program that they have available. Still also working with the new snow removal company, NMAC. We've been going a little back and forth about what is an acceptable amount of salt to be used on the borough roads for either a pre-treatment or a once-over and so on and so forth. They do tend to pull the trigger a little early if snow is predicted. So, before where I could say, use your best judgment, and they kind of did. This one, when I say that, they just do it, without the snow on the ground yet. So, but it's a work in progress.
Larry, question for you. Has it been the procedure in years past to do a pre-salting prior to any accumulation?
If their prediction is like a 70% or better,
yes. Okay.
If we're down in the 40% to 40%, no. I kind of don't. But they're almost prompting me like rather often. We want to get out there and do a pre-treatment. Want to get out there. And they're texting me 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Sure. I'd like to get out there and do a pre-treatment. And I get up and I look out and I'm like, I don't see it. Anything going on at all. And I'm like, let's hold off till, they're saying 9 a.m. And, I say, let's hold off till 9 a.m. We'll look at it again. Yeah. The next thing Stu gets a bill, So, still working on that.
Okay. And do you find if they pre-salt too early prior to an event that the car traffic tends to disperse the salt?
Okay. Yeah, I am finding that.
Okay.
And then, Matt, you had a discussion with the snow contractor about the tonnage.
Yes.
And everything's acceptable as far as you're concerned.
With Larry's request, we looked at did a little research on what anticipated rates of salt are per lane mile, and I think it ranged from 200 to 600 pounds per lane mile. And working backwards, I think for the borough and the amount of borough roads, it came up to I think I suggested a max of 6 tons per application if they did the whole borough at one time. And they were a bit in excess of that. And you talk to them, and they said, well, look, when we do a cul-de-sac, our wheel in the back of our salt truck's always running, so we got to kind of maneuver around a cul-de-sac. We apply more there. There's a fair amount of cul-de-sacs in the borough, and I can accept that. But I think the discussion and Larry's input was more to keep them very mindful that they're being watched, and we're looking at those application rates in the best interest of the borough.
All right, Larry, thank you. Was that
the
report? Great. Okay, moving forward. Up next on the agenda, we have solicitor's report. Jerry, can I pass it off to you?
Thank you, Mr. President. I was able to secure a 90-day extension on the agreement of sale between the borough and Mr. Strawning. The agreement now, the settlement date is proposed as the end of March. So that's in relation to, the PNDI report that the borough received.
Great, thank you, Jerry. Okay, moving forward again, we have engineer's report. Matt, can I pass that to you, please?
Sure. Just piggybacking on what Jerry just reported to the board, I did secure a proposal. It didn't come until after I left the office. I have it on my phone, but I'll circulate it to Borough Council from GDH Services. It's Scott Bush, who we've worked with for many years, to do a habitat study for the Strine parcel for a fee of $2,000. So I will, circulate that to Borough Council tomorrow, look for it, and then as Borough Council can react accordingly.
Great, Matt, one question, Matt. If that survey or that inspection comes back suitable or acceptable, there's no need to go any further, would that be correct?
Yeah, it can come back, one, and say that there's not suitable habitat for the the turtle in question, and that will clear the property. Or it may came back that there is suitable habitat, and if the borough prefers to get that cleared, that would take a phase two, more intensive study, to see if they could locate, you know, nesting places for this particular turtle.
Would they identify areas on the property that,
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So some areas are possibly be not suitable, some possibly could be?
Correct.
Okay.
And then we also have the 31 Smith Bridge Road land development. That's the 3,000 square foot commercial building down Smith Bridge Road. It's been extended a few times. It is up again. The applicant is approving another 90-day extension for borough action, which would bring us to April 15th of 2020.
So we need a motion to extend the application, is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
What was the date again? April?
April 15th, 2020.
This isn't going to be like the Chester Heights Market, is it, where we go like 11 years or something like that, right?
We would certainly hope not. Yeah.
Okay, do I have a motion to extend the application for 31 Smith Bridge Road to April 15th, 2020.
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, the floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Matt, is that all you have for tonight?
Yeah, just the continuing inspections at Lenape Valley and the Arbor Square is basically done. I guess administratively not completely done, but as far as the construction, they're basically complete.
Okay, great. Thank you, Matt. Okay, moving forward, up on the agenda next is committee reports. Just a quick note here. I would ask all council members to email me the committees they are interested in serving on. I will take that into consideration as I reorganize those committees in the next couple weeks. I will announce those committee assignments at the January work session, and including in that announcement will be the newly created Borough Police Protection Committee and also the Mayor's Event Committee. Are there any committee reports that we have for tonight from anyone, for any committees?
I have an update on Santa Day.
Okay.
We held our lunch with Santa on December 7th, which is earlier this year than last year. There were well over 100 people who attended. The photographer took, I think he said, 97 photos that he printed, many more than that. We did run out of food and had to order food. There were lines waiting for Santa. We were getting a little worried, but it all worked out well. I want to say a special thank you to, obviously, to Mayor Smith, who basically planned the whole thing, to Susan Clark, who came and helped set up and also did traffic, told people where to park and where to pull in and where to leave, which was great. And we ran out of parking, too. All good problems to have. A special thanks to Larry Ward, who was there the night before sweeping the floors and polishing the floors to make sure everything was clean. So the kids literally ate off the floor, and then when it was all over, he was back again with his machine, polishing the floors and cleaning the floors again, all by his lonesome in the fire company. Also to fire company member Austin, who volunteers for everything that the borough asks of the fire company. He always signs up, and he actually gave truck tours this year. So he let the kids come outside and climb on the fire trucks, and he showed them what was going on in the fire trucks, which was a big hit as well. So just wanted to thank everybody who participated. We did miss Councilperson Kokoza, but his son was being born that day, so you had a good excuse for not being there. And so thank you, everybody, for the help, and thank you very much. And also Sue Timmons, who ran and got us food when we needed more food. We appreciate all the help and hope to continue to grow the event and see more people there next year.
Great. Thank you, Gina. Are there any other committees that would like to report tonight? It seems like it's a light
and
night for committees.
When do you want to know the desired committee? Is there a date for that?
If you can email me by the end of next week, maybe, end of this week, as soon as you know. This way I can get busy reorganizing those committees and have that prepared for the work session in January. Okay, moving forward, we have old business. Do we have any old business to discuss? Anyone? Okay, and finally, new business. We have a vacancy on council. On December 22nd, On November 12th, Teresa Gustinelli submitted her resignation to Borough Council. That resignation was deemed accepted on December 22nd. That leaves us with a vacancy. I will ask our communications chair, Jean Marie Ellis, to post on our website and other media avenues that we have to ask any residents who are interested in that position to please send an email with their resume to Borough Hall. And we will name that appointment on the 27th of January at the work session. Are there any questions, comments? At this time, we will have an additional period for public comment. We ask that you state your name and address for the record. Anyone in the first row? Yes.
As a question, so when you were reappointing all of the vacancy chairs,
sure.
Ms. Clark abstained due to the conflict of interest given that her husband was on the planning commission.
Sure.
Ms. Ellis is good news this year. I'm wondering if she should have abstained as well in her relationship with another member of the planning commission. I don't know if that's a concern or an issue, but if that abstention didn't happen.
Jerry, would you like to address that?
Could you repeat that? I can't hear. I apologize. Can you say that again? What's the conflict?
Should I have abstained because the person I'm engaged to is also on planning commission?
No. Certainly, if the council person believes that there could be a personal interest and a conflict of interest, it could be considered, in your opinion, to be something you want to abstain for. That's your prerogative. I don't think necessarily there's a conflict, per se conflict, in that regard, but it's, I believe it would be entirely up to the council person if you believe that would pose a conflict for you.
Okay.
I don't think there's a per se conflict because of the relationship.
I would like to add that planning commission is strictly advisory also, Jerry.
Advisory in nature. It's advisory in nature. There was nothing wrong with her.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying
if the question is, was there something wrong with her taking the vote? No, in my opinion.
And that's the question.
Thank you.
Okay, anything further? Yes, sir.
Philip Lockby, 57 Willits Way. I have a couple comments based on the Powell presentation that I want to let the council know my opinion. I believe a lot of misleading statements were made during that presentation.
Okay.
That presentation pre-assumed a overlay on that property, which there's not one. It is currently zoned residential 1.5 acres.
Okay.
Which on a 66 acre property, that's 44 houses.
Okay.
So their comments about 213 houses, and they were doing us a favor by only putting 66 up there, was a bit misleading.
Okay.
I think the council also ought to realize that out of the 66 acres, the 25 acres that they are planning to build on are really the only 25 acres on that property that you can actually build on. There is a 100-year floodplain that runs through that property. There's also EPA wetlands. So out of the goodness of their heart of donating 45 acres to open space, and therefore they should be allowed to build high-density housing, is a bit misleading because they can't build on that property anyway. I would recommend that you have the borough engineer confirm what is actually buildable on that property.
Sure.
So I know they pitched it as the goodness of their heart, but in truth, they can't sell that property. They can't build on that property. There's really only about 25 acres, and you take out land elevations and restricted space on there. Even with borough averaging, under the borough bylaws, would only allow one house for 2.9 acres. And they are proposing putting multi-housing, high-density housing on that property, which is not currently allowed for. I will let you know that we are going to be putting a group of concerned citizens about that. My house does back up to that property. It will be visible from Rockford Estates. It will impact traffic on Smith Bridge. So I would just have the council be aware that the goodness of their hearts that they're proposing, that that emphasis is not there. And I would also encourage council to really think twice about accepting that property and taking the liability when that there's nothing that can be done on that property anyway. So I just want to point out that really right now the borough zoning and the lot averaging at best only allows one house per 0.9 acres, and so putting 2 to 3 carriage houses per lot right now is not even, you know, under current zoning ordinance is allowed.
Sure. And to your point, I believe that area would be left open space for obvious reasons, regardless of whether the HOA retained it as their development plans are calling for,
or whether they are a place you can't fill in.
Exactly. So either they would have to maintain it or they would farm.
The only other thing, if the borough did take it, that would allow access to borough residents to that beautiful property back there.
Sure.
Whereas their HOA probably would not allow access.
Correct. Correct.
We do want to look at a lot of deer tracks, which I'm
doing. Yeah.
It's a great place to walk back there in the wintertime, spring you can't get back there. But just like.
So there's definitely pros and cons for the borough too, and not to take that.
But regardless, they're not going to be able to build back there.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I understand you were trying to say, oh, we're not going to build 200, we're only going to build 66. Well, they can't build 200.
No.
By current zoning, or even by what they can actually build on there.
I think we realize that, or most of us realize that from our prior discussions. So thank you for that. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Greg Chuckuffery, 17 Mills Way. I concur with all Mr. Block's comments. He and I are both in the same homeowners association, Rockford Estates, which is 24 homes in Chester Heights and Concord Township. There would be significant concern from the Chester Heights residents in that association when we're discussing it. I would ask that council defer to the school district when asked about what percentage of those houses would likely have students. Since, first of all, they've done studies in the last 2 years that can show exactly what numbers they use in estimating those kind of things. And secondly, you can circle the Brookfield and see what the density of students are in Brookfield versus what the standard off-the-shelf estimation is. But I would ask them to get that estimation from the school district and not from the developer.
Sure.
Is that something you can do?
Absolutely.
The two of you can get?
Yes.
Susan, is that fall under your committee? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I know that number is too low.
Okay.
You know, like this Brookfield, they said that we were not going to have hardly any children. The first family that moved in had 2 young children. I don't know where he got that statistic from.
He's over.
So that's something you'll be able to be involved with prior to the March 24th work session? Okay.
If you guys tell me what the ratio is, I can recalculate the numbers.
Okay.
And then I'd also ask, if we're looking at the property, look at the environment and the impact on that property. That is, as you said, wetland. There's the creek is right there. It's a low-lying property.
It's an EPA-restricted
area, so I can imagine building with a lot of energy.
And then even with Rose Hill, they said, you know, we're not going to put that many children in the school district. And when they were talking about, we want to design it this way to attract young people, young families. So I'm like, isn't that what we said that we were, you know, wouldn't have? So.
Yeah.
Thanks. All
right. You're welcome. Sure. Anybody in the second row? Third row? Fourth row? Fifth row? Okay, moving forward, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion is approved.
Okay,
I'm not.